This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, October 29th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. 100-year-old dairy shuttered. Dairy order scales up. Beef patties not the source of E. coli. And new funding to decarbonize ports. Century-old dairy facility closes. California Dairies, Inc. has shut down operations at its Los Banos manufacturing facility, giving notice to its 38 employees. Brad Anderson, President and Chief Executive Officer, said the decision was not made lightly and was, quote, driven by the evolving dynamics of the marketplace and shifting milk supplies. The facility began operating in 1925 under San Joaquin Valley Dairymen. The company merged with Danish Creamery and California Milk Producers in 1999 to become California Dairies, which now produces 40% of the state's dairy supply. Water Board revises dairy order to target manure fertilizer. The State Water Board has drafted an update to a regulation governing nitrogen discharges from Central Valley Dairies. Aspects of the new regulatory framework would apply statewide, requiring regional boards to adopt the rules as well. The Central Valley Board initially adopted its dairy order in 2013, yet the State Water Board has found a need to update it due to, quote, a fundamental shift in our understanding of the relative nitrogen unloading to the groundwater. Applying manure to cropland is responsible for the vast majority of the impacts, not manure lagoons as previously thought. According to the draft regulation, the extensive over-application, quote, has forced us to take a hard look at what we now recognize has been an inadequate approach for regulating dairy waste discharges. The proposal aims to curb the practice. The order notes that dairy farmers are price takers and cannot easily absorb the added costs, and that the industry is still developing alternatives, yet shifting the predominant paradigm is critically important. Here's a clarification from yesterday. State Water Board staff have included a set of voluntary agreements as one possible option for its proposed update to the Bay Delta Plan. The board has yet to decide whether to approve the agreements. The plan also suggests a possible flow range of 35% to 75% for the Sacramento River. McDonald's rules out beef patties as E. coli source. Quarter pounders will return to menus at McDonald's stores after state testing confirmed beef patties were not the source of a deadly E. coli outbreak. The California Department of Agriculture notified the fast food giant over the weekend that there was no E. coli detected in samples of quarter pounder beef patties from restaurants in the area, along with CDC, epidemiological, and supply chain traceback data. The company has ruled the patties out as a source. The 900 restaurants in parts of 12 states that have typically received slivered onions from Taylor Farms' Colorado Springs facility will resume selling the quarter pounders, hold the onions. Taylor Farms issued a recall for some onions from the facility out of concern for E. coli contamination. Take note, FDA has still not publicly identified a source of the contamination, although initial traceback data pointed to slivered onion served on the burger as the likely culprit. On October 25th, the FDA updated the number of reported illnesses associated with the outbreak to 75. So far, 22 people have been hospitalized. Two have developed a condition that can cause kidney failure. One has died. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision, Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. EPA rolls out $3 billion in funding aimed at reducing port emissions. EPA is pooling $3 billion in zero-emission equipment and climate and air quality planning projects at ports. The funding will be going to 55 applicants across 27 states through the Clean Ports Program. Zero-emission forklifts, electric tractors, and solar generation systems are among the equipment being funded. The program lays a foundation for America's ports to transition to fully zero-emission operations, EPA Administrator Michael Regan said at a press call yesterday. Older farmers ahead of their generation on retirement accounts. Older farmers are more likely to have retirement accounts than other Americans in their age brackets, but older farm households have less in those accounts, according to USDA economists. Some 57% of older farmers have retirement accounts compared to 47% of older U.S. households. On the other hand, 59% of self-employed non-farming households in that age bracket have retirement accounts, that according to the Economic Research Service. Those older farm households have socked away an average of $246,600 compared to $260,900 for senior households nationwide and $516,800 for non-farming self-employed households. By the way, the economists note that farm households have more assets such as land than average Americans, but those assets aren't necessarily easy to access in retirement. Soy growers criticize new herbicides and endangered species protections. Soybean growers are criticizing what they call, quote, unwarranted restrictions on the use of a newly adopted glufosinate product to protect endangered species. The American Soybean Association says EPA's final label for BASF's Liberty Ultra herbicide includes a new requirement for a 10-foot mandatory ground spray drift buffer. It also triples the number of runoff points growers must accumulate by using certain conservation practices. According to EPA, the herbicide strategy and other ESA strategies are simply frameworks, ASA says. The group said, however, that this latest decision shows EPA, quote, is willing to deviate from its own strategies and set more restrictive requirements for individual registrations. ASA Director Alan Meadows also says, quote, EPA seems to have relented to pressure from environmental groups and decided to impose additional Endangered Species Act restrictions on farmers. On the other hand, a group central to the effort to get EPA to address endangered species, the Center for Biological Diversity, says many groups, including the ASA, have been working closely with EPA on the issue to figure out how to protect endangered species from pesticides. Environmental Health Science Director Nathan Donnelly says, quote, we raised a bunch of issues with the proposed registration of glufosinate P, most of which were ignored by EPA. Although it was nice to see the number of runoff mitigation points increase from 1 to 3, EPA was just simply aligning this registration with the herbicide strategy, which all stakeholders, including ASA, commented on extensively. Donnelly calls it laughable that EPA would be in cahoots with the center. This type of rhetoric shows that ASA is not interested in finding solutions, only sowing discord amongst its ranks, Donnelly said. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, October 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.